Genesis chapter 32. And verse 24 would be our text for this evening. Verse 24, and Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. This is now the fifth occasion that Jacob experienced a visitation from God. We considered that first experience that Jacob had a few weeks ago when he came to Bethel. And there he spent the night with his head upon a pillow made of stones. And it was there that night that God's presence was revealed to him. For when he awoke from his dream, he declared, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." Genesis 28:16. That was the first meeting that this son of Isaac had with God. First time he'd met with God, with the God of his father. Jacob met with the Lord again at Haran. And there God's plan was revealed to him. For Genesis 31, verse 3 and verse 13, we read, "And the Lord said unto Jacob, Return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee." So God reveals his plan to Jacob. And that was followed by another meeting with God at a place that he called Mahanaim. And there God's protection was remembered by Jacob. For we read in Genesis 32, verses 1 and 2, "And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him, and when Jacob saw them, he said, This is God's host." It was the third time that God met with Jacob. And it was in that same place that Jacob began to pray. There God's preservation was requested by Jacob. For in Genesis 32 and verse 9, "And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saith unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will be well with thee." And he continues on in prayer in verse 11. He prays, "Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children." So here he requests God's protection, preservation. Now we find Jacob at a place called Jabbok. This is the fifth time now God met with Jacob. And he met with him that night. And there at Jabbok, God's power was received by Jacob. It was a night in which Jacob received and experienced the power of the God of Israel. And surely there's not one of us here tonight who know the Lord Jesus Christ, who would not long after and desire the power of God in our lives. Surely that is what we all need. We need the power of God. And when we have power with God, we'll have power with men. The Lord really challenged my own heart in the preparation of this message. And what Jacob went through, and what the Lord brought Jacob through before he blessed him with his own power. I want us to look at this night's scene. The night that Jacob was burdened and broken and blessed. See, first of all, the night that Jacob battled with the Lord. We're told that at Jabbok, Jacob was left alone, verse 24. But how did he come to be there, left alone? He had two wives, many children and servants, and yet he's left alone in the middle of the night. To find out, we must go back to the beginning of the chapter. And in verses 1 and 2, and Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him, and when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And down then in verse 13, and he lodged there that same night, and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother. And we read there about that present in verses 14 and 15. And it is there that Jacob calls upon the name of the Lord, as we have already noted, and it is there that Jacob prays, and prays that the Lord would deliver him out of the hand of his brother, and preserve his life and that of his family. It is interesting that here what we have in verse 32, and Jacob praying, it's the first time we read about Jacob praying. First time. What was it that brought Jacob to his knees that night? Well, we look at verse 7 for the answer. And Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And then verse 9, and Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac." That's why he prayed. If Jacob had not been greatly afraid and distressed, he never would have prayed. It wasn't in him. He wasn't a praying man. This was Jacob, the supplanter, the twister, the schemer. Jacob wasn't a man of prayer. Jacob wasn't like Abraham. But the only reason that Jacob prayed and got down on his knees and sought the face of God was because he was greatly afraid and distressed. How many have played the part of Jacob? How many only call on the name of the Lord whenever they're afraid or greatly distressed? How many only fall upon their knees when everything seems to be against them? That's when they call upon God. They're driven to their knees. They wouldn't go to their knees otherwise. Sad to say, when God is pleased to be gracious unto them, then they forget about praying. So Jacob was afraid, greatly afraid and distressed. And here Jacob then brings his burden to the Lord. Esau is in pursuit of Jacob. He's going to kill him. And Jacob takes his burden to the Lord in prayer and calls upon the God of his father Abraham and the God of his father Isaac. He had a troubled conscience. He's afraid of his brother Esau. And he feels he must pray. He takes his burden to the Lord, but he doesn't leave it there. Don't we often sing, "Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there"? Well, Jacob didn't do that. He prayed, he took his burden to the Lord, but when he got up off his knees, he still had his burden upon his heart. How do I know? Well, look at Jacob's scheme. He has been before God, prayed for deliverance, rehearsed God's promises before him, showed great humility, saying, "I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies." He seemed to have done everything right. He seemed to have been a changed man. After all, he was praying. Except he didn't leave his burden with the Lord. But we read then in verse 13. He's prayed. He lodged there that same night and took of that which came to his hand, a present for Esau, his brother. Then you have the present mentioned there. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, "Pass over before me, and put a space betwixt the drove and drove." Here was his scheme, here was his plan. You see, he had a problem, but Jacob was trying to solve the problem himself after praying about it to the Lord, after asking the Lord to deliver him, after he sought the face of God. What do we find? We find Jacob gets up and he just goes on as he had done before, with all his schemes and all of his plans. In verse 18, "Then thou shalt say, they be thy servant Jacob. It is a present sent on to my lord Esau. Behold, also he is behind us." It was his problem. And you know, believer, if we are honest, we have the same problem as Jacob. We take our burdens to the Lord in prayer, and what do? We get up off our knees and we carry our burdens home with us again. And then we spend time that night thinking about, how can I solve this problem? What can I do? What plan can I come up with to solve this problem and to meet this need? And there we are, just doing as Jacob did. We have our own schemes and our own plans. Did we not pray about it? We did. We didn't leave it with the Lord. In Peter, 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, we read there, we're told about casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That word casting all your care upon him, it is the word that is used in the Gospels where the disciples brought the colt of an ass to the Lord. He was going to ride into Jerusalem upon this beast of burden. And we are told that the disciples cast their garments on the back of this beast. It's the same word. In other words, they took off their outer garments, took them off their shoulders, and cast them onto the back of this beast of burden. Peter says, casting all your care upon him. Take off your care. Don't go around carrying it with you. Cast it on the Lord. For he careth. The Lord is the one who does the caring. That was his problem, and then his present, for we read there in verses 13 to 15 about the present that Jacob decided he would send to his brother Esau. He sent this present in the hope that it would bring about a reconciliation between the two brothers. Notice verse 13. And he lodged there that same night, and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother. Look at verse 18. Then thou shalt say, they be thy servant Jacob's, it is a present sent unto my lord Esau. So in verse 13 and verse 18 it's called a present. Now look at verse 20. And say ye moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us, for he said, I will appease him with the present. That's changed. It's not just a present, now it's the present. And again in verse 21, it's the present. In other words, what was Jacob doing? Jacob was putting all his trust and his hope in this present, hoping that the present would bring about the reconciliation, would appease Esau. But had he not prayed to the Lord to do that? Should he not have been pinning all his hopes and his trust and his faith in his God? Instead of what he mustered together with his own hands. Now it's the present. This is it. This is it. This present will do it. It will appease my brother Esau. How quickly we forget God. And put all our trust and our hope in this plan and that plan. Believer, maybe we're more like Jacob than we realize. We pray to the Lord and ask God for help and deliverance, and we go about our business seeking to solve the problem ourselves. And we pay it up in all our hopes, and this is the plan or that plan. Let us pin all our hopes in God. Look at the purpose. We're told there in that verse 20, and say ye moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us, for he said, I will appease him with the present. I will appease him. There's the purpose. He sent this present in the hope that he would appease his brother Esau. It's an interesting word, that word appease. The word itself means to cover or to atone. It is translated, the same word in the Hebrew is translated in other ways, in other places. Genesis 3:21. The Lord clothed our first parents with coats of skin. It's the same word, clothed. Translated here, appease. And then in Genesis 6 and verse 1, the ark was pitched within and without. It's the same word for pitch. the word of peace. 2 Chronicles 30 and verse 18, there it is translated pardon. In Proverbs 16 verse 14, it is translated pacify. And so by this gift, Jacob was hoping to appease Esau, hoping to make peace with his brother. You know, when if you look at that word appease, and how it relates to that gift, does it not remind us of another gift? Does it not remind us of the one who went to the cross? What to do to appease the wrath of a holy God? He went to the cross and shed his blood that we might be clothed in his righteousness, that we might receive pardon, that the holy God of heaven might be appeased and pacified. Jacob sent all those animals, verses 14 and 15, in the hope of appeasing Esau. But we only needed one, and he's the Lamb of God. And the Lamb is the one who died and appeased the Holy God. My hope is built nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Jacob put all his trust in that present, and the hope to appease Esau. And praise the Lord, we have put all our trust in Christ. And God has been appeased. So you have Jacob's scheme, and then you have Jacob's solitude. We read in our text, and Jacob was left alone. The thought here is that God is at work here, and he so organized the circumstances so that Jacob was left alone at Jabbok. Jacob had always been used to having people around him, using them, planning and scheming. Now God brings Jacob to that place called Jabbok. Jabbok means the place of emptying. And God has brought Jacob to the place of emptying. And it is there, Jabbok, the place of emptying, that God emptied Jacob of his self-will and his self-centeredness. And God emptied Jacob, emptied him of everything he had rested on and trusted in before. That night, Jacob was emptied of self. Because, as we all know, up until this point, Jacob was a very self-centered individual. He only lived for himself. He planned for himself. See what he could get out of others. But now God has brought him to Jabbok, and we read Jacob is left alone. Dear Christian, this is what struck me as I was studying this message. That if we are not willing to put God first in our lives, then God can bring us to our Jabbok, and he can bring us to that place where we are left alone. where every prop we have rested on, everything we have trusted in, it has revolved around sense, ourself. God can bring us to Jabbok, where we're left alone, and where we have no one to turn to but God Himself. And there, at our Jabbok, the Lord will empty us. You know, believer, that's a fearful thought. It is. We like having people around us. Enjoy the company, but God can bring us to the place where we're alone. There's no one else there but God Himself. And there God can empty us of self. And you have Jacob's struggle. Jacob is now engaged in a struggle with a man who wrestled with him throughout that night. I want you to notice the wording. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him. Wrestled a man with Jacob, not the other way round. It wasn't Jacob wrestling with the man, it's the man wrestling with Jacob. And the first thing we want to consider regarding this struggle is the identity of the man. Here we are told that there was a man, there wrestled a man with him. Now when we turn to the book of the prophet Hosea, we have Hosea's commentary on that very night. And Hosea chapter 12. In verse 4, yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. So now we are told that the man was an angel. But when we go back to Genesis 32, what do we read? Well, Jacob said, look at verse 30 of Genesis 32, verse 30, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God. That's who wrestled with Jacob that night. Up there, in verse 24, he's called man. Hosea calls him an angel. Jacob here in verse 30 says he saw the face of God. Put the two together, and what do you have? You have the God man. Here we have one of the appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ before his incarnation. But even here he's called the God man. It was Christ who was wrestling with Jacob that night. This mysterious wrestler is described as man and as God and as angel. Christ is the angel of the Lord. If God brings us to the place of solitude, and God brings us to the place where we're left alone, we'll praise His name. He'll not abandon us when we're alone, for the God-man will come to us as He came to Jacob that night. the identity of the man and the intention of the man. For we're told, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. There wrestled a man with Jacob. The intention of the man, the intention of the angel, was to overcome Jacob, to break his resistance, to end the struggle. To bring Jacob literally to his knees. We see that when the wrestling began, it wasn't Jacob laying hold upon God. God was laying hold of Jacob. And the wrestling ended when Jacob laid hold on God. For God said, let me go. Jacob was holding on then. And sometimes the Lord needs to bring us to Jabbok. Sometimes the Lord needs to bring us to a place where we feel very much alone. And sometimes the Lord will bring us there that he might meet with us. And he'll wrestle with us until he breaks us. But remember, for Jacob, the breaking was the beginning of the blessing. If Jacob's stubbornness, we can see that this wrestling, Jacob resisted. Jacob was stubborn. Jacob refused to give in. Jacob refused to bend. Jacob refused to yield to the Lord. He refused to surrender. And believer, is there not that stubbornness in us? I admit it, that it's in my heart too. There is the stubbornness when it comes to surrendering to God. There's the stubbornness, the reluctance to yield to Jesus Christ. There is a reluctance to present our all upon the altar of service. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Above thine own ambitions hear another voice is sounding clear. It is the voice of God to me, O leave thy all and follow me. Go through with God. Vows to pay. Thine all upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest. Give to thee God's very best. That's what Jacob experienced that night. And the angel wrestled with Jacob until he broke him. That brings us then to the night that Jacob was broken by the Lord. We've seen the night when Jacob battled with the Lord. Until he was left alone, the Jabbok, the son of Isaac, relied on all his own craftiness and cunning skill to solve his difficulties and his problems. Now all that was taken away from him that night at Jabbok. And it all changed by the touch of the Master's hand. Jacob would not surrender, so the Lord had to adopt, as it were, other measures. In verse 25, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, when the Lord saw that Jacob would not surrender, he touched the hollow of his thigh. That word for touch may be translated in a variety of ways. One of the ways it may also be translated is to smite. To smite. So what happened that night? The Lord smote Jacob. That was the touch of the Lord upon Jacob. And the Lord smote him that night in the hollow of his thigh. And when he did that, the fight was over. The battle was over. Because how can a man wrestle when his thigh is out of joint? Can be done. The battle's over. The opponent has won. Now Jacob is a broken man. And what did we read in Hosea 12 and 4? He wept and made supplication unto him. He's a broken man. You ever read of Jacob weeping before? You ever read of Jacob weeping over his sin? No. But he wept that night and made supplication. Oh, this was real praying. This was real praying. God had brought him to Jabbok, the place of emptying. God is able to bring us all to Jabbok. Bring us to the place where we're emptied of self. And then we get a hold of God as he has broken us and we weep. And we weep. We weep over our sin. When was the last time we wept over our sin? During the minister's weeks of prayer, there are days when the Lord comes in and men are broken. Big men cry like children. They weep and make supplication. God can bring us all to that place of brokenness if there's a reluctance to surrender to him. After the touch, you have the test. Verse 26, and he said, let me go. That is, the Lord said to Jacob, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. We learn from these words that no longer does the Lord have a hold of Jacob, it is Jacob that has laid hold upon the Lord. Because the Lord says, Jacob, let me go. This was the test. It's the breaking of the day. Let me go. The Lord was testing Jacob. Jacob, do you really want the blessing? And Jacob proved that he wanted God's blessing because he wouldn't let him go until he received the blessing, until he received the power of God. Here is a man. I want you to notice this. Here is a man who had not shown much interest during his lifetime up until now, had not shown much interest in spiritual things. He only prayed because he was in trouble. He didn't pray because he really wanted to and wanted to commune with God. He prayed because he was in trouble. But now we see Jacob. This man who had never at any time in his life up until this point shown any interest in knowing, receiving the blessing of God. And now what do we find? We find that Jacob is willing to lay hold upon God and keep holding on to God, however long it may take, until God blesses him. What a change. This man's life. Many of us long for the blessing of God. And I'm not speaking about, say, the blessing of good health and prosperity, things like that. What about the blessing of God in our soul? What about God blessing my soul? What about God touching my heart? We often refer to Andrew Bonner. Said of Andrew Bonner, when he came out of his minister's room at the side of the pulpit and climbed the steps and stood there in the pulpit before the people, it was as if Bonner had just come out of the presence. He knew he had been with God. He had the blessing of God in his soul. Will we give ourselves to praying for the blessing of God in our soul? And then you have the truth. The angel asked Jacob a question. Look at verse 27. And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." You see, Jacob was asked that question before. And when he was asked that question before, he lied. He didn't tell the truth. Turn to Genesis 27. Genesis 27, verse 18. And he came unto his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I. Who art thou, my son?" Jacob said unto his father, "I am Esau, thy firstborn." He lied. But that's all changed. He's a Jabbok now. He has been broken. He has been emptied. He has received the touch of God. He's holding on to God for the blessing. And when he was asked, "What is thy name?" he answered, "Jacob." He was saying, "Lord, yes, I am Jacob. I'm the old supplanter. I'm the schemer. I'm the crafty individual. That's me.
What was he doing? He was confessing and telling the truth about himself. My name is Jacob. The Lord desires truth in the inward part. And that night, just before the blessing of God came upon Jacob, Jacob acknowledged and told the truth to the Lord. God demands truth in the inward parts. And when we come before God, we'll never know the blessing of God in our souls until we're truthful with God. No point going on and thinking we're better than the next person. Well, I'm not as bad as him or her. Oh. Man looks on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart, and that's where he wants to see the truth. Look at verse 29. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. That interesting too. Now we find Jacob, this man who'd never shown any interest in the things of God. Here he is, he's alone with the Lord, and now he wants to know more about the Lord. Tell me thy name. That's changed times for Jacob. He wants to know more about the Lord. He wants to have a deeper knowledge of God. Do we want to know and have a deeper knowledge of God? Paul, as an old and aged apostle, wrote there from the prison, sailed that letter to the Philippians, and his prayer was even near the end of his life, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, that I might know him. Believer, we should be praying that to our dying day. We can know God. Jacob wanted to know God. We haven't time to look at the last point, the night that Jacob was blessed by the Lord. He was rewarded. He said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And we read then that the Lord blessed him there. He held on until he got the blessing. Wouldn't let go. He's a changed man. That was the reward, and then you have the revelation. He went to that prayer meeting, as it were, looking into the face of Esau. He could see Esau behind him. But instead of seeing the face of Esau that night, he saw the face of God. What does it say? That he saw the face of God, and my life is preserved. God was gracious. No man can see God and live. Here's the fifth meeting the Lord had with Jacob, and here's grace. Grace, marvelous, matchless grace. He preserved Jacob's life and blessed him. And then you have the rising of the sun, verse 31. And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. He bore the mark of the touch of the Lord. And I'll tell you something else. He bore that mark till his dying day. You can read that in Hebrews 11. he was leaning on the top of his staff. He was still halting. He was a changed man. And he lived for God from that day forth. How we need to live for God. How we need the power of God. How we need the touch of the Master's hand. How we need His blessing. Let's bow and pray.